Today is Saturday, December 23rd, 2017, and this...
You know, Mo Green is out of the Tropicana now. My sons, Mike and Fredo, are taking over.
...is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 629.
Las Vegas, Nevada! Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. Special. Well, it's not really special. It's just a regular old show. But it's Christmas weekend. So Merry Christmas, folks who celebrate Christmas and stuff. How festive is that?
Very.
We were very inspired. We just recorded our, we just did a live stream chat with our Patreon folks and shared the inspirational tale of a hero named Jim. The children's book about CEO Jim Murren. And
Is it Murren or Murren?
I'm going with Murren. I don't know. I think everybody left a little bit more inspired today after that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to go out and do amazing things in the world.
I think they're going to design the shit out of some parks.
It's going to be impressive what happens as a result of this. This is the first time anyone has read that book. Little known fact. All right. So thank you to everyone who joined us for that. Since I'm already discussing it, we may as well mention that this podcast is listener-supported by fine folks, including the following Patreon patrons. Frank Schwab, thank you, Frank. Brett with one T. Good to specify that, because if it had two T's, I would have pronounced it as Brett. Michael Porter, Allison Rich, Baccarat Guy, and Lee Dioso. Thank you all very much.
Yes.
Much appreciated. Thanks for your support. If you're wondering what this is about and what the excitement today on Patreon was about... Oh, for people who couldn't join us live, by the way, the video is archived, so you should be able to watch it if you're a Patreon supporter and weren't able to make it live. So you can support the show on a monthly basis, and as a result of that, you get some bonus content as our way of saying thank you. So we do a few different things, and we do a podcast every 2 weeks for some of the Patreon folks, where we talk about a different Las Vegas resort or casino. I do a Las Vegas article every month, and... periodically some other miscellaneous bonus things. I have some things in mind that I think we're going to get to very soon as well. So patreon.com/500 is the place to go for details, and thank you to all the supporters. We do appreciate it, and it means a lot to us. All right. So we were kind of wishy-washy last week at the end of the show on whether or not we would be here this week.
We might do a show, we might not, but then the news just
kept coming. We had a lot of we have a lot of stuff. It was ended up being a big week for Las Vegas tourist news, so we thought, damn it, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a fun show where we talk about stuff. So we're going to do that. Let's start with the a couple things. Is this some sad news, do you think, this first one?
Before
we do that, I just...
I am Siegfried. And I'm Roy. Our white lions and white tigers join us in wishing you a magical holiday season.
And a special New Year's with all your dreams coming true.
Thank you, Siegfried and Roy. I didn't want to forget about it, and I have to switch out of the playlist to something else because I'm going to play some music here in a little bit.
Ah. Did you decide to sing?
We'll see if I'm inspired.
Okay.
And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I am feeling a little bit inspired, so maybe if the song is in my heart, maybe I'll join in. So anyway, let's start with something non-musical. Oh, I don't know if I can. I'm a little shook up over this news.
Are you?
All right. So after 10 years, Chris Angel's run at Luxor is coming to an end.
No.
I know. We discussed this quite a while ago, that his contract was going to be up in October of this year. We were wondering whether or not the show would be renewed or not. Clearly not. I don't know whose choice it was. He may have, you don't know, Chris might have said, I'm
done with this. I'd like to go do something
else. I'm done with this. Or, you know, maybe Cirque said, this was a mistake. Or maybe Luxor said, okay, it's time for you to go.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know, but it's ending. Mind Freak Live's last show will be October 28th, 2018. So you still have several months if you really want to go see Criss Angel's Cirque du Soleil show. Originally, it was called Believe, and it got consistently horrible reviews. And then they ended up retooling it and changing it just a couple years ago to Mind Freak Live. The biggest surprise to come out of this is that the contract ran the full 10 years because the reviews were so horrible. Everybody thought that Cirque or Luxor would find a way out and it would be done. But I don't know. They must have had there must have been a big payout if
the contract was broken.
That's the only thing I can imagine. Or who knows? Maybe just based on his name and familiarity, they were selling enough tickets to make it worth continuing. But I don't know. It's a pretty universally disliked show, at least by people on our Facebook group. And I've looked at Yelp reviews and stuff, and you'll get an occasional positive review where somebody who's a big fan of his likes it. But I think people who go in not knowing anything about it generally are like, that was kind of shitty. So anyway, no word on whether or not he'll end up at another Las Vegas property or whether he'll just do his touring show or what. You know,
either way, you're not going to be affected by this.
Well, if he does another Las Vegas show, we'll end up talking about it again. But much like the most recent show, I don't anticipate having any interest in seeing it. What if he were to somehow come back at a different property and it was getting rave reviews as the greatest magic show ever in the history of the planet?
That would be surprising.
It would be very surprising. That would be a huge trick. It would be a magical illusion because I don't think it's possible. So anyway, that's Criss Angel. You got until the end of October, and enjoy if you choose to go. Maybe, you know, maybe somebody will like it. He'll go on a tremendous run at the end and everyone will find favor with Mind Freak Live. All right, in better news, I think, at the other end of the performer spectrum, at least in my world, Lady Gaga has signed a 2-year contract for a residency at the Park Theater. I'm very excited about this. Mm-hmm. I believe you let out a little bit of a squeal of delight when you found out as well.
I did.
Could you reenact the squeal of delight?
No.
Mine was, ooh. That's my squeal of delight.
That is something.
So I've got the entire Lady Gaga catalog here on my iPad, pretty much. What should I play from Gaga?
Whatever your little heart desires.
Right, I'll play Edge of Glory to start because I really like that song. Little Gaga in the background. Why is it not playing? Well, there we go.
Takes a while to...
So I'm sure that most of our listeners are familiar with the work of Lady Gaga. She did the Super Bowl halftime show last year. And if that didn't convince you that she's an amazing performer that should have a Las Vegas show, then we can't be friends. I'm a big Gaga fan. We've seen her a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
She puts on an amazing spectacle of a show. However, if she decided to, she could do a stripped-down show and it would be equally great because she's got a really solid voice. And the highlight of the show for me, even though she had all this shit going on the stage, is when she just sat there at the piano and played.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see a show of that. I suspect we'll have a mix of the two for her Vegas show. She'll do a spectacle, don't you think?
I would think.
You got it, Vegas. Love me some Gaga. I'm not going to sing. I don't want to ruin it.
Aww. I remember when I first heard Poker Face, I was not into it. And then at some point, something flipped and I was like, oh my God, I love that song. Oh my God, I love everything she does.
Yeah, I wasn't really blown away at first either. And then at some point, I started to pay closer attention. I was like, oh, there's something here. She's not just like a, you know, pop princess with nothing behind her. She can pull it off. She's a talented musician. This is the previously mentioned Poker Face, of course.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it. I think it helped I put it on a bunch of Vegas mixes because
poker.
Right.
After he's been home,
Yep. So the details on this contract are rather sparse. All we know is it's 2 years and it's at Park Theater and it's starting in late 2018. They haven't announced how many shows or how much tickets are going to cost, although I'm guessing that these tickets are going to be at least $200 a pop.
Yeah.
There are various rumors on how much she's getting paid. We don't know if any of them are true and it doesn't really matter to me. I hope she makes all the money in the world. I want to go see this really bad.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see her in a smaller venue.
Yeah, and I think this place maybe what 5,000 or something.
Yeah.
So Park, Variety is reporting from it's an unconfirmed report that says she's committed to 74 appearances over 2 years. So that's more than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it might be a Bruno Mars deal where he does six weekends a year or something. He's not there all that often, even though he's considered one of their resident performers. So it sounds like this will be a little bit more of a consistent gig for her. And that pleases me as well. It's going to be a great show, I guarantee it. If you've ever seen Gaga, you know she's an amazing performer. And if you haven't, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
She puts on a great show. So, that's happening. Hooray, Gaga.
Yay.
Once we have official details on when the show starts, how much tickets are going to cost, all that stuff, we'll certainly talk about this more. And then maybe I'll be inspired to sing. We'll see.
Okay.
I know people are so disappointed that I'm not sharing my gift of song.
That's all right.
All right. In other Park Theater news, Ricky Martin, another one of the resident performers, is returning in 2018 for yet another run. They just announced shows in March, May, and June of 2018. So if you have been wanting to see Ricky Martin and didn't get to check out his 2017 shows, there's still time to do so. I think they are already on sale. So you can check that out. Probably Ticketmaster for purchases and whatnot. All right, another show. So we talked about this show when it first started and haven't really mentioned it since, but there is a show at Paris called Sex Tips for Straight Women from a Gay Man, and it's sticking around, which it's kind of surprises me this has done well enough to stick around, given that we haven't really heard much about it. But they're making some changes, and this isn't the first time that a show has done this in Las Vegas. In recent history, just off the top of my head, I could think of a couple different shows where they changed their main stars periodically through the show's run.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one that popped into my head was Peep Show at Planet Hollywood. That one had a series of different headliners.
Mm-hmm.
They had Mel B from the Spice Girls.
Yes.
Shoshana Bean, who I believe is a Broadway performer.
Mm-hmm. We saw it when...
Was she in it then?
Yeah, I believe it was she and Holly Madison.
Okay. Aubrey O'Day, who's a music... remember earlier when I mentioned pop princesses with nothing behind them?
Mm.
Yeah. There were a couple others, too. I know there's a Playboy model. But anyway, Holly Madison took over, and she became the main star for a long time. And then the producers at Paris, of course, had David Hasselhoff, and followed by Tony Danza. Mm-hmm. Remember that one? We didn't go see either of those.
No.
Well, there are, the show Sex Tips for Straight Women from a Gay Man currently stars Kendra Wilkinson. She is one of the Hugh Hefner girls from, she's been in a bunch of different reality shows. And then Jay Rodriguez, who was on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, apparently. I'm not really familiar with that. You used to watch that show, didn't you?
Long time ago? Occasionally, yeah.
Starting in January, they are replacing those two with somebody named Sheena Shea.
I'm going to say Shauna.
Shauna Shea. That's a weird way to spell Shauna.
Yeah.
S-C-H-E-A-N-A.
Clearly, neither of us doodling? Has heard of her.
Can we quit doodling with our names? Do we need to have ridiculous spellings? Drives me nuts. Vanderpump Rules is the show she's on. I've never watched. Well, I take that back. I watched it for long enough to get a clip for this the beginning of the podcast once.
I have never seen an episode. I'm okay with that.
And then Chester Lockhart from an MTV show called Todrick that I didn't know existed either. And you know what? When I say that, when I'm like, I don't know who these people are, it's not, there's this weird thing now where people are proud to not know things. Mm. That's not what this is.
No, no.
It's just, it's not in my frame of view. I just don't watch those shows.
Mm-hmm.
They may
you
have
do?
Very
Good
big,
for you.
They may have very big followings. People may know who they are. I just don't happen to know who.
Yeah.
So, I was.
You're too busy watching The Sopranos again.
I know. I'm always like, it always annoys me when you'll see a discussion on our Facebook group or elsewhere where someone is mentioned and somebody will go, who? It's like, fucking Google it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't recognize these names, and I at least looked to see what shows they were known for or something, but there's a certain, like, pride that people have in not knowing pop culture stuff now. Mm-hmm. It's really bizarre to me. I don't get that. It's weird.
Hmm.
Like, I like to have a general knowledge of what's like going on.
Like the people who don't have televisions?
Those people are a whole nother bracket of weirdness. The people who boast that they don't have TVs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time for any of them. All right, so let's move on from that. They're changing stars. If you're into that, if you want to see that show, there's going to be some different people in 2018. That is what we have learned this week. There's a new show coming to Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace. They've been doing some interesting things over there, and I like to see that. You like to see trying some different types of shows. I don't know about this one. I'm curious whether or not it will find an audience and stick around. My gut tells me no, but I've been wrong before. It's called Renegades. I think it should
and
be
it
called
is not a Styx tribute.
No, it would do fine if it was a Styx tribute. I bet it would do just fine at Cleopatra's Barge. No, I think this one should be called Assholes of Sports because it's a stage show starring some former athletes telling stories from their days as, you know, when they were athletes. And the people that they've chosen are known to be assholes. So, I'll read the description. Renegades gives sports fans an up-close and personal experience with three of their favorite sports stars. No subject is off-limits as legends recount stories from their playing days to tabloid-making headlines and beyond. So it's supposed to be like, oh, we're going to learn, like, some scandalous stuff, but you know it's probably all in their autobiographies anyway.
Yeah.
They're starting off, and then it ends with a question and answer session from the audience. They're starting off with Jose Canseco, pretty much agreed upon to be an asshole, although I have mixed feelings about Jose Canseco.
Yeah,
because he's the only one who told the truth about the steroids going on.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about our dog right now.
Yeah, he's an asshole too. Max can star in this. Jim McMahon, of course, quarterback for the Chicago Bears in the 80s. And Terrell Owens, another football player. Although he won't be in the first eight shows for some reason. He must be on vacation for February. And Jimmy King, who was a college basketball player, will be doing the first several shows. And then every 3 months they're going to rotate. They're going to change participants. So they'll find some different assholes to tell stories. I'm guessing Pete Rose will be in the second batch.
Yeah, available.
Oh, he won't do it during baseball because doesn't he still do... Oh, did they... He was doing some studio baseball stuff, but did they boot him after some accusations or something?
I have no idea.
I don't know, but Pete's available, so I bet Pete Rose will be on this at some point. Any of those guys who do the circuit of the Field of Dreams stores mm-hmm. in Vegas will probably be there eventually. I am really curious to see if this show will last. Tickets are $75 and $100, and then they have some VIP tickets where you can meet the performers and have your picture taken and stuff like that at Monte Cristo after the show, plus Ticketmaster fees. So it's not cheap. Shows are Thursday through Sunday at 8 p.m. So they're using Cleopatra's Barge. I thought, well, maybe this will be like a late afternoon thing, but no, they're using it during like prime show times on weekends. So I don't know. I'm a little surprised by that. It begins on January 25th, and we'll keep an eye on this, and we'll probably talk about it when they rotate performers in a few months, if it makes it that long. If anybody goes to see this, we'd love to hear about whether or not it's worth seeing, if it's truly... I would imagine, you know, as sports, big-time athletes, if they're well-spoken and stuff, can tell a good, amusing story, and there might be some amusing stuff out. I'm not into any of these guys enough to care. I'm trying to think. Now, which athletes would I want to hear tell behind
Ricky
the scenes?
Ricky Henderson.
He's an asshole. He fits the, and all the stories would
but
be
he's entertaining
third
as hell.
Person. When Ricky was playing, yeah, I would love to see that. That's a good, thank you. I would not have thought of that, but yes, I would go see Ricky. We saw Ricky in Vegas one time a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
walking down the strip.
And all he right. was being Ricky.
Ricky being Ricky. All right, there's a new attraction coming to Venetian, and we've been discussing these a lot over the past year, these virtual reality attractions that have either opened or have announced plans to open soon in Las Vegas. I think of all of them we've discussed, if one of them is going to be successful, it will be this one.
Right.
It's called The Void, and it's going to open early in 2018 in the Grand Canal Shops. The reason I think it will be successful is that it will feature a Star Wars-themed virtual reality game called Star Wars Secrets of the Empire. Star Wars has a large following.
Does it?
People are passionate about Star Wars. Have you noticed that? Yeah, if you've been on the internet, you might have noticed there are some things, people who like Star Wars.
Or if you've worked with people in the software industry in particular.
Yes, nerds love Star Wars. So I would imagine that many of our audience will be into this because we've got some Star Wars nerds.
People have been posting on Twitter about going to see
the movie.
The movie, yep.
All right, so the new, there's not an official opening date yet. This already exists in London, Anaheim, and Orlando. So, you know, if you're a big Disney fan, you may have played it at one of the Disney places. And I think it's a smart move to tap into an audience this large and this passionate.
Mm-hmm.
They will do very well.
Yep.
With any marketing budget at all, they should do fine. So I'm sure some of our listeners will check this out, and we would love a report on the experience and what exactly it's like. And
yep.
How the game plays and how long it lasts and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Let us know.
And if it stays true to the story.
Exactly. I would imagine it will have some sort of a separate story, you know, not like something right out of the movie, but, you know, somehow involving you that you have to achieve some sort of mission. And maybe they'll even have multiple. I would imagine to get people to come back, they could have multiple different options, but we'll see. So we have an update on something we discussed last week as well. As we mentioned, Project Blue is the new name for the Fontainebleau project, and it sounds like they are planning, the new owners are planning to move forward with the project very soon. There was an article yesterday in Bloomberg that said that developer Steven Witkoff has plans for that, and he's planning to complete it. He's planning to complete the whole thing. So,
good.
What they described it as in the article is 4,000 rooms. So that would be the whole shebang. A casino. Yay, we like casinos.
We do.
And a restaurant. A restaurant? That seems like shooting a little low, having one restaurant in a property that big. So I suspect it'll be multiple restaurants, but the article said a restaurant. So if it opens and only has one restaurant, well, that was their plan, apparently. They're planning on spending $3 billion in development costs to complete this thing. So that should be enough to finish it.
Are they going
to
buy back the old furniture from Plaza?
Yeah, we want all our stuff back now. And I think Buffalo Bills and Prim got something. I don't know if it's in Prim. Somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. They got some of the furniture too, I think. Yeah. The quote from the article that I thought was worth sharing is, we've basically pressed the go button to do everything necessary to finish design on the project and take down a construction loan. That is the part that concerns me.
Oh.
Financing is always an issue for projects in Las Vegas of this magnitude. And they said they made it sound like they needed 60% of the $3 billion budget to finish it, a loan for that much. So they're ready to go with it, but they don't have financing quite arranged from the sounds of it. So my excitement turned from, oh, this is great, to, okay, we'll see.
We'll see.
Maybe
yeah.
not. So stand by.
Someone in our Patreon chat, I want to say it was Travis, said, who knew that all they needed to complete Fontainebleau was an easy button?
Apparently. They just needed to press go. So keep an eye out for that. We'll be discussing it more because we like to talk about stuff as it's being built. And since we're talking about that in the North Strip, there was a picture posted on the Facebook group the other day of four cranes up at the Resorts World site. So this is good news. They've been saying that they're going to get construction going here soon. There have been reports of trucks moving things around, and four cranes are up, and pretty soon we should see some decent progress on that. So
I hope so.
Fantastic news. All right, there's a new restaurant coming to Cosmopolitan, and I'm looking forward to this as well. OregonLive.com, which I don't think we've ever used as a source before, is reporting that a Portland sandwich shop called Lardo, they have a couple locations in the Portland area, is going to be opening a location at Cosmo very soon. I looked at their menu, and they have about a dozen sandwiches, but it's very, it's a wide range of sandwich styles. It's not like turkey, ham. This looks good. So a couple of the examples are pork meatball banh mi, Korean pork shoulder, a double bacon cheeseburger, Italian tuna melt, and Nashville hot fried chicken.
Yes, so you can see all of those.
I chose those as the examples because that shows the breadth of styles of their sandwiches. It's kind of all over the map. Sides include their signature Lardo Parmesan fries, dirty fries, crispy pig's ears. Max would like that.
Yes, he would.
And hush puppies, among other things. Ooh. So really small menu, but looks like a good selection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about this. I like to see quick options available.
Yeah.
Cosmo has a couple of them. They've got Secret Pizza, of course, which mm-hmm. can be quick depending on when you go.
Right.
And then Egg Slut, same thing.
Same, yeah.
But to have another place like this where you can get something fairly quickly mm-hmm. and not have to be encumbered by a long meal when you want to get back to the machines or the tables, mm-hmm. this is a good thing.
Yeah.
Don't know exactly where at Cosmo this will be located. There's plenty of space on the restaurant level, so I don't think they'll have any problem figuring out where to put it. But we will discuss the opening date once we know more. It hasn't really been officially announced. This was just the company, the current sandwich shop, discussed it. So Cosmo hasn't announced it yet. Max, fuck off. Goddamn dog. All right, we're going to pause the show for a couple minutes while Max gets this out of his system. All right, let's try this again, stupid dog. Moving along. Luxor has announced that the food at its esports arena, which is opening in 2018, is going to be developed by Jose Andres. This is great news.
Mm-hmm.
He does fine work. You may know him from Haleo, China Poblano, and Bazaar Meat, among other restaurants, but those are his Vegas restaurants right now. And yeah, so this is a good thing. I would have had no interest in the Luxor esports arena, and now I have a moderate interest just mm-hmm. in going and eating, even if I don't care about the video game aspect.
Yep.
This is not the first time that a popular chef has teamed up for a Las Vegas, I guess what I would call a non-traditional restaurant, for the menu development. Lugosi Stadium has been very, very popular at Palazzo. And of course, Emeril Lugosi did the food for that. And that has worked out quite nicely. So maybe we'll see something similar here. I'm sure whatever he comes up with will be wonderful because his food is amazing. So that is great. On the other end of the food spectrum, Casino Royale announced on Twitter this week that they are going to be opening a Pizza Hut in 2018.
Yay.
Yes, I'm guessing this is replacing the Noble Roman's pizza counter in the food court. So from one kind of, you know, shitty pizza to another kind of... Pizza Hut is the worst fucking pizza on the planet. Well, okay, that's exaggerating. It's really fucking bad, though. And if you're in Las Vegas, where there are so many good pizza options now,
yeah.
and you choose Pizza Hut, you're doing everything in your life wrong. I can't take any sort of...
You can't defend any of those choices.
No, I can't take anything you do seriously if you choose Pizza Hut over the many wonderful options in that city.
Like White Castle, I get it.
It's a novelty.
It's a novelty.
Right. But Pizza Hut, no, there's no defense.
You can get that in pretty much any city in America.
Probably overseas as well.
Yeah. You can.
Horrible, horrible pizza.
In a lot of cities.
So, but you know what? For Casino Royale's food court, it makes sense.
Yes.
It's not, you're not going there for gourmet food, but you know, if you're hungry for pizza, there's probably a better pizza place, the food court at Venetian next door. And yes,
right.
It's probably not going to be this. It's probably going to be cheaper at Casino Royale, but probably not by that much.
Because mm-hmm.
they'll overprice everything.
Your gut will pay for it.
I know. Choose better. Okay. There's apparently, well, of course, with MGM Resorts in the process of converting Monte Carlo to Park MGM, there are a lot of changes happening there, and one that may be happening soon, we learned about from the Facebook group, thanks to Mandy, who posted screenshots of a survey. The large resort companies often like to survey customers when they're trying to decide on things, and sometimes we get useful information, and sometimes we don't, so we don't know if this will go anywhere, but they've been surveying people about a potential new sports bar at Park MGM. Sounds like it will be connected to the sports book at Park MGM because they mentioned that there would be the ability to place bets mere steps away. And among the other details are that it will include duck pin bowling and billiards. So if you like those fun games, would those be considered... those aren't millennial games. Those are just old time...
I think so.
Yeah, like billiards, you know, that's not... It's not like...
It could become a thing.
It's not like
I don't
shuffleboard
know.
Where they're... Anyway.
Shuffleboard and cornhole where they're everywhere.
Yeah. The main part of the survey is related to the names that are up in the air for a possible use at this venue. And here are the choices. Park MGM Sports Bar. Okay, straightforward. Nothing magical about it, but mm-hmm. does the trick. The
you
Line.
Know what it is.
Yep, the Line Sports Bar. Makes sense with the sports betting theme.
Mm-hmm.
The Spread.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, someone on the Facebook group said they look forward to the soft opening at the Spread. The Money Line, again, going with the gambling theme. The Dark Horse and Pony Up. I don't see them going with the horse racing theme as much because that would surprise me, but who mm-hmm. knows? So Mandy said that they seem to be focusing on the spread.
Do they now?
Yeah. Do you have a problem with them focusing on the spread?
Do what they got to do.
So there you go. You can look forward to probably a new sports bar at Park MGM sometime in 2018 as things are open. And one of those may be the name. Okay, finally, this last story.
Yes, this last story.
There's a new sangria bar coming to Paris, Las Vegas. It's going to be connected to Hex, which is a restaurant right on the Las Vegas Strip. They do some decent work, and they have a nice outdoor patio. They're converting their retail space they have been using for selling their chocolate. They're converting that into a sangria bar. They're going to have a full cocktail menu, but they're going to have a variety of sangrias, and that's what they'll be known for. Oh, boy. This one gets the award for the biggest load of PR bullshit of the year. It is tremendous.
It came in just under the wire, yeah. But...
Yep. All right. So this is from the Review Journal article from one of the people behind Hex, their spokesperson, presumably. The name of the place is going to be Alexa with two X's. And here's why.
Huh.
Alexa was the name of our muse for Hex. She's a fictitious woman who we use as the story of our That's a weird thing. She's a fictitious woman who we use as the story of our chocolate. That's a weird thing to mm-hmm. say. Okay. Who traveled the world to find
cocoa beans.
Cocoa beans, okay. To find cocoa beans and bring them back to share with people. She's a world traveler.
Oh, she's a world traveler and she traveled the world?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we use that as our mindset when we're creating anything in this Hex arena. So when we built the bar, we said, let's make sure that it's somewhere Alexa would want to take her friends. So I love that they create this. This is right out of the Downtown Grand mm-hmm. story of PR bullshit. When they had that whole thing about how it was built in a... the location of a former neon factory.
Yeah.
That's completely made all that shit up. Mm-hmm. And that's why they named the center bar the Furnace, because they used to make the neon signs there.
I think one
Such
of the
crap.
Yoga stores, I want to say it's Lululemon, they have a customer called Ocean.
I remember
and
you mentioning that.
I've probably mentioned this before. And what would Ocean do? How would Ocean feel about this?
And that's what they do here at Hex, apparently.
Like, I get that people use personas to design shit.
Uh-huh.
But this is a little much.
Yeah. And then, of course, I got thinking about the name Alexa because, of course, it's
the Amazon thing.
The Amazon thing. And I didn't. My main thought was, I wonder what happens if we talk to Alexa and people to listen to the show have. Can I try it?
Sure.
Alexa, play I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred. All right. We'll see if that. So somebody let me know if that worked. And if so, I'll be doing it a lot.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. So anyway, Alexa is coming to Hex and is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that their drinks will be great, but this whole having to come up with this nonsense.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the story of Alexa will be in the menu and
oh,
all that.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. All right. So that's it. That's our Las Vegas news this week. And I think that's going to be it for the show. We decided to just do a little kind of abbreviated thing this week. So, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that stuff. This is our last show of the year, I believe. What's today?
Probably.
23rd? No, maybe not. We might
maybe
speak
not.
One in...
we might.
Yeah, we'll probably have one New Year's weekend. That'll come in... Well, I don't know what day we'll record, though.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe we'll have one more. But we're wrapping things up. So, Happy New Year and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So sincere.
Happy New Year and all that shit. Nice.
Hope you have many Vegas trips in your... plans for 2018. As always, you can find our website at 500bymidnight.com. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, 500@gmail.com. And of course, we are on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And you can call us. Our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night, at 702-866-9494. We would love to hear from you if you have reviews or thoughts on Vegas-y things. That's going to do it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We will be back next weekend at some point with another show. And until then, have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.